And welcome to GBBO Bake Off Bake Down, the unofficial Great British Bake Off podcast. I'm your host, Kira, and on this podcast, we are going to break down or bake down every episode of the Great British Bake Off. Things might get a little technical, but hopefully in the end, it'll be a showstopper. On your marks, get set, podcast. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today we're doing episode 4 of season 12, Dessert Week, which was on the 12th of October, 2021. So we have a quick recap of who was star baker last week, which was Giuseppe, and unfortunately Rashika left. And this week they have teased that we're going to have a cracking signature, a tricky toffee technical, and a showstopper that's ready to burst. At the start of the episode, I don't know if there was a skit today. Normally there is, but my television keeps cutting off the start of the episode when I come in to watch it. I come in and I have it recorded kind of, or I kind of start from the start. So unfortunately, I always seem to miss just the start and there was absolutely nothing today. So it just started straight from the recap. So apologies about that, but we shall carry on. We see the beautiful little scenes of the Bake Off tent where it is. We have the ducks and the ducklings, and we see a beautiful, I'm guessing it's June day, because I don't know if anyone else is watching this on Channel 4, but there is actually a show with Prue Leith on it at the moment. I think it's called Prue's Garden Plot, where she's moving house to a bigger house and she's doing up her garden, and it's a nice little show. I'm actually enjoying it. It's quite easy going. It's kind of in the style of, say, Escape to the Chateau or something like that. I don't know if you guys watch these shows on Channel 4, because I seem to have a lot of listeners in the US. So maybe you don't get the British channels. You probably watch Bake Off on Netflix, but Prue has her own show now about her garden. And I have to say, we've watched it and we're kind of like, we see Prue in a different way now. It's funny because she was always just this amazing baker. But when you see her at home with her husband, and it's just, you kind of relate to her. You're like, oh God, yeah, Prue. She's really down to earth, and it's a really nice show. So the reason I'm saying it's June is because in the show, it's kind of over a year or more, and there's kind of this thing in May, and then she comes back and it says July at the bottom of the screen. So I'm guessing, and she says she was away working on something. So I'm guessing it was June, but feel free to correct me on that one if you know anything else about that. So this week it's going to be a challenge for Freya. She says she's really nervous about the vegan substitutes that she's going to have to use for the desserts. Maggie says she never eats desserts, so people will probably be thinking, what does she know about them? Their first challenge, the signature, is a pavlova, and it can be any flavor but must have a soft, pillowy center. And when Noel and Matt say that, they do say yum afterwards, and I have to say it does sound really delicious. I don't know if anyone noticed, but on the Great British Bake Off Instagram today, they had a load of desserts, and they said if you just had to pick one dessert for the rest of your life, what would you pick? And funny enough, I didn't even know this was coming up, but in my mind, I did pick pavlova. I just think it's fantastic. We have treats in our work on a Friday, and people often make a pavlova. And well, when I say people often, it's probably two people, and they do it amazingly well. And I love pavlova because you're getting that sweet, you're getting that cracking of the meringue, and you're getting the fruit as well. So you kind of feel like, hey, it's a win-win. I've never made it. It's something I'd be terrified to make, but absolutely love it. It's delicious. So Lizzie says something that I kind of agree with in a way. She says, no, it's not. Pavlova is not really her favorite dessert. She says she has to feel like she's ate something. Ate meaning ate. And I pronounce ate like that sometimes as well, instead of ate, A-T-E. So that's kind of funny. The Liverpool accent and the Irish accent are not far apart. So the pitfalls of this is it could collapse. It can be very difficult to keep it firm. And Paul says there's 101 things that can go wrong. And also they only have 2 hours and 45 minutes. So that makes it extremely difficult. Now, Giuseppe is making a Coco Bello, a beach inspired by beach memories with his mom. And he has peach, nectarine and passion fruit flavors in it. And he's making a basic meringue. So we hear this a lot tonight, basic meringue. So there must be different types of meringue. I don't know, is it like Italian meringue, something like that as well. Christelle is making something that her godmother Pamela makes, and they call it a pamelova, or they call her Pamelova. And unfortunately, she hasn't got the recipe off Pamela, but she's making a kiwi lime pie, which we learn that is Paul Hollywood's favourite dessert, the key lime pie. We have our first little bit of banter with Matt. He says he's a walking dad joke. Well, let me not give away the punchline, but he says the key lime pie just doesn't like the key in it. It's a bit metallic. So that is a typical dad joke. I mean, that's just across the board. So Tristel's also doing basic meringue, I think. Now, they're talking about how the basic meringue, you have to be quite delicate when making it. You're just adding in the caster sugar little spoons at a time. And some people are adding colours and flavours to their pavlovas and their meringues. Maggie, of course, as usual, is making a traditional meringue or a pavlova, and she's using summer fruits and a classic raspberry taste. And she mentions that there's no real need to enhance things. And we see that Prue and Paul say to her, good luck. So they're not convinced about that. Amanda's making one called Pavlov. It's a good name. It's a love heart shape. And she has the chopping board to match. And she's using chocolate mascarpone and raspberry flavorings. Now, we hear that they can shape their meringue by hand or pipe it, but it has to be firm. Now, this is a challenge for Freya because she's using aquafaba and it is less stable and doesn't hold. I think she's making peach melba in hers. And I just love her accent as well. She's saying she wants the caramelized peaches that are toasted and golden. So that's my Yorkshire accent. So Giuseppe reminds us it has to be slow and steady with the baking. You're not to underbake it or overbake it. And it seems like they're using long baking times, but at different temperatures along the way. Now, so I'm seeing a lot of banter with the lads. I keep calling it banter, but you know what it is. It's kind of this comedy, this slapstick. It's funny. It's kind of family friendly. I don't know if anyone else is on the Bake Off Reddit, but there is a Bake Off Reddit. And I have to say it's obviously very popular at the moment. I always put these episodes out straight away after because I just want to, you know, make sure that it's all done on a Tuesday night when it comes out. I don't know when it comes out in America, but obviously because it's on live TV here, we have to get on it. You don't want any spoilers for the week ahead. But I'm enjoying the banter and I'm noticing a lot of people putting up on the Reddit little clips that they enjoyed or little screenshots from funny moments during it, either something with Matt and Noel. Or just with the little funny things the contestants say. And I think that's, I'm kind of heartened by that because I'm thinking, oh God, am I talking too much on this podcast about the funny moments? But at the same time, they are the funny moments and they're the bits we kind of enjoy as well as the actual competition itself. So Chigs is making a tropical pavlova, which looks really nice. Let's see, Matt goes up to say, bakers, you've got 30 minutes left or whatever. And he gives Amanda a big fright. George is making a lemon curd and biscuit cream. And I noticed they call it Speckaloo's whipped cream, which I hope that you know what Speckaloo's tastes like. A lot of people call it Biscoff these days because I suppose that's another name for it. But it's this gingerbread kind of thing. But my introduction to Speckaloo's goes back a good few years. It wasn't over here at all in Ireland. I don't know, was it in England? Probably not. But it comes from Europe and it's huge in Belgium. I think it's from Belgium, but we have some family that live over in Belgium and we always used to go over and get Speckaloo's and we literally bring Speckaloo's home because we go over and visit them like once a year at least. We always bring Speckaloo's home and Speckaloo's was the most amazing thing. And now it's everywhere and it's called Biscoff. You get it in ice cream, you get Biscoff paste and the word Speckaloo's is gone. So I was really happy to hear them using the Speckaloo's because that's where it comes from and it should be given its proper name. Jürgen is making a Passover pavlova inspired by his wife who is Jewish and he uses matzah unleavened bread for these three triangles that represent the pyramids and he's using charoset, which is a symbolic paste with a whole orange inside and dates. He's also using cardamom. And I think the charoset represents the mortar that was for the pyramids to be built. Liz is doing an Easter pavlova. They have a little bit of a skit about baby lambs or a little bit of a chat about lamb because that's a traditional Easter thing. Blueberry, lemon and rosemary are her flavours. Now, when they've half an hour left, it's time to take it out of the oven. And Amanda seems a lot under pressure to keep, but we see that the love heart shape is intact. George's one is cracking, unfortunately. So he is a bit worried because presentation is something that he is called up on. Freya's Pavlova comes out looking absolutely beautiful, but we have to make sure that the structure is also there. And I have to say, something I'm noticing this week is now that we're only down to nine, you're kind of getting to see their character and their personality a lot more coming through, which is really nice. I hadn't really gotten to know George or Chigs that much until tonight, and it was nice that they got to kind of say a bit more. Probably just the way it happened, we kind of got to know a lot about Giuseppe and Jürgen and a few of the others, but it was nice that a few different kind of characters shine through tonight. So now it's time for them to put their finishing touches on. Maggie is using a little blowtorch to make these lovely meringue kisses, and they're putting on their coolie and things like that. So time's up, and Matt reminds us that the plural for Pavlova is Pavlovi or Pavlovi. George's looks a little bit sunk. So now we come back from the ad break for a little bit of judging. First up is Chriselle with her Pamlova. I like the way they called it, a Pamlova in the middle third, then at the bottom. It looks good. It's got a delicious, strong lime taste, and the sides are probably a bit too thick, but other than that, she's done well. Second, we've Jürgen. I think they criticize it for maybe looking a bit basic and untidy, but even though it's cracked, it has an amazing blend of flavors, and Matt wishes him mazel tov. Third is Lizzie. Paul kind of thinks it looks like something out of Willy Wonka factory. It's a bit stodgy, but the flavors are great. Fourth, we have Amanda. The appearance is very good. They would have liked a bit less chocolate. George's looks awful, but it's absolutely delicious. Sixth is Maggie. Hers is looking a bit informal and it has collapsed a bit, unfortunately. Seventh is Giuseppe. His is fresh, summery and delicious. Freya's is not tangy enough and a bit sloppy. And Chig's looks amazing. It just looks amazing. Even when it cut open, you could see that white. It just looks so fabulous. So he gets the second Hollywood handshake of the series. So well done to him. Now we go to see before the technical how everyone's feeling. Amanda's feeling a little bit pressured, but she says it's all still to play for. Now for the technical, we hear from Matt that it's Pruella Deville has set this challenge, and she gives her advice of the week. And guys, you know how I feel now. It's the fourth episode. The advice of the week is extremely generic. It can apply to literally anything. But I'll tell you what it is today. This challenge requires some serious multitasking. So get organized. So sticky toffee pudding. It's a very, very popular dessert over here. If you go to any restaurant, they'll probably have it there. But I'd say rarely is it made fresh in-house, or maybe it is, but it seems like something that you might get in a pub or something like that. So I'd love to know if our American listeners have sticky toffee pudding much. It's kind of like, it's a fruity kind of pudding. It can be stodgy, but the toffee is meant to get you through. So they also have to use these weird triangles that kind of look like crackers a bit. Make a smooth creme anglaise. Amanda says that her husband always makes it and she never makes it. So she says she kind of wish she was listening to him. Maggie says she's unfortunately never made it before. And I do agree with the judges. They say it is a complicated recipe. The pudding, the sponge has to be well done. The triangle crackers, which I think are called tweels. I don't know how you spell that at all. It's really weird. But obviously, the difficulty with this is you can think that it's cooked when it's actually not. So it's a brief recipe, but it is complicated. The first step is to make a wet caramel. Never heard that before. George's is burning a little bit. Now they have to make the tweel. It looks really satisfying when I seen it, kind of when they were rolling it out or they were kind of spreading it out to cook it into a big rectangle. They have to make. Freya dropped hers, unfortunately. And it made me think about Freya and the vegan. I'd say in the technicals, she probably can't do everything vegan. She probably just has to use whatever's given to her. But yeah, that must be tough actually if you're vegan. I know she hasn't been vegan long, but it's great that she's sticking to her guns with that. Now, they have to put dates, flour into sponge. Maggie says she's not sure if she needs flour. Now, when I heard that, I literally did a double take. I was like, what? I'm not sure if he needs flour, because I could see the rest of them using flour. And there's a little bit of a laugh with Noel when he's writing down on her recipe, step 11, push Paul into a ditch. Now, they have to divide the batter equally into molds, and then they're cooking it. They're not sure. Maybe they'll cook it for 15, 20 minutes, have a look and check. Matt is talking to Chigs and saying, is he going to get a tattoo to commemorate his Hollywood handshake? And we see Noel is packing his suitcase and said he doesn't want anyone to go, so he's going to go instead. Now, they've also to make a creme anglaise. Jürgen warns that the custard to fried egg, it can go pretty quickly. Or I think maybe he means scrambled egg, but he said fried egg. Amanda is saying that unfortunately her creme anglaise has lumps in it. I don't know, did she redo it? And Maggie is worrying about burning her creme anglaise. Creme anglaise. Now, Maggie is realizing that her pudding seemed to be sinking into a gluey mess because she missed out on the flour. I think that's really unfortunate because it was written on like the back of the page or a different page or something. I think that's really unfair, but I suppose they are warned that they have to read everything. But I just felt really hard done by for her. I felt that for her then. But you know what? She was so optimistic. She kept going the whole time. I love that attitude. Christelle's mentioning that her skewer is wet, but it could just be because of the sauce. It's time to turn them out now, and some puddings look absolutely lovely. They look soft, squidgy and bouncy. And I do feel sorry for Maggie because she says, I bet you everyone watching this is feeling sorry for me. She was absolutely right. We were. They look very burnt. And I actually thought in my head they look like caramelized onions or onion chutney. And you'll notice that Paul mentions that later. And I just, yeah, I feel bad for them about leaving that one line on the last, on the next page. So first up in the technical, we're just going to go through the judging. Lizzie, they say hers are, the sauce is stiff, but the pudding is good. So good all round. Christelle, hers are uniform, but they're a bit stodgy and raw. Giuseppe's are nice. They're a bit stodgy and underbaked. Freya's came out too early, they think, of the oven. She would have liked a bit longer on the caramel cooking, and also the creme anglaise is curdling. Jürgen's are well baked. There's a good sponge, so they seem to be perfect. He seems to be good at the technicals. George, his are underdone. They are almost treacled sauces. Amanda, her tweels are burnt. Her caramel's underdone and her pudding is raw. So that's really unfortunate. Maggie, her tweels look good. But yeah, he also mentions Paul. It looks like onion chutney. And Chiggs is his caramel. Matt tells him it's not coming out with that paw. So Matt's saying you should whack it like you do a packet or a bottle of ketchup. But he says, look, it's turned to full toffee. So who came last? Well, Maggie, unfortunately. But she does make a funny joke that at least it is gluten-free. Coming in eighth was Amanda. Coming in seventh was George. Sixth was Freya. Fifth was Christelle. Fourth was Giuseppe. Third was Chiggs. Second was Lizzie. And first was Jürgen. So Amanda vows, like loads of bakers vow at when they go into their little confessional, that she's never going to make sticky toffee pudding again. And Maggie says she loves making things hard for herself. So she's going to give it her all in the next round. For the showstopper, they have to make a jacquande apramé, which is a collar, a decorative collar, normally with a whisk sponge with almonds. And it's all about Mona Lisa. That's the name, jacquande, I think, is the nickname. So that's where it's taken from. And they say it has to be as decorative as the Mona Lisa. So we're looking for something really decorative and really artistic. So it has to be imprinted with a design. And inside could be mousse, bavois, or creme pâtissière, or pâtisserie. and they're looking for the best of the best. First up, we see Lizzie. She's making a Liverpool design in red and blue. And I actually, obviously, I know the Liverpool team is red, but it took me a while to figure out. I'm not the biggest soccer knowledgeable person, but the blue team is Everton, which I found out a fact that their nickname is the Toffees. So very suited. So Lizzie is making it with chocolate and she's representing Liverpool, which Paul is from Liverpool. So hopefully he will look favourably upon that. Next up, we have Jürgen. He's piping his very intricate designs. I thought that was amazing. He was piping the music notes. So also, I have to say, the way he is standing with his legs apart, that is just a brilliant stance. I love people standing. If anyone doesn't follow it already, go onto Instagram at people standing. It's such a funny account about people standing in the most craziest ways. So I think I'm going to try and add Jürgen onto that. Okay, so Jürgen is making a song that is called Pastime, and it's written by Henry VIII. So he's using all Tudor flavors with a white chocolate bavois, I think. And he talks about making a Star Trek cake with two Starship Enterprise kissing or something like that. Oh, yeah, yeah. I just can't get over him. He's just a fantastic contestant altogether. Third off, we have Amanda. And she's doing Adam's Temptation based on the Garden of Eden. And it's with caramelized apple jelly. Christelle is using, we're not going to go to Christelle yet. We just saw a clip of her gently putting in the almond flour. Fourth, we have Maggie. She's using plain flour and they're having a bit of a laugh. She circled plain flour and Paul says, have you heard of this plain flour? Gives great body to things. Yeah. So she's no hard feelings at all. I don't know if I'd be able to keep such a good composure. If I was her, I'd probably be maybe a little bit embarrassed, but she's no reason to be. I'm just thinking if I was in there, I'd probably be so stressed. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So fifth up, we have Chiggs. He's making a black forest with a design based on his sister's bathroom tiles. And we recently had our bathroom tiles. We picked them out and yeah, hexagon is very popular at the moment. So beautiful design. We didn't go for hexagons ourselves, but I do like them, I have to say. And Noel is having a laugh with Chiggs about his agent, always telling him to not compare himself to other comedians. And he says, well, look at me now. I'm on a baking show. So they're very self-aware this year. So sixth up, we have George, and he is doing a peanut butter style with the design of flowers. And they have a little bit of a chat about how to spell bavois. And I was writing it down B-A-V-O-S, I think. But Amanda comes through and spells it B-A-V-A-R-O-I-S. And now when I heard that, I said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So Chiggs opens the oven and we see a load of steam and smoke come out, which, yeah, that happens to me a lot. Amanda, hers is completely dripping off the side. So I don't know how that's working out for her, but looks pretty bad. And because they're thin, we hear that they don't take long to bake. Now Freya is a bit worried that her pattern is going to be gone, and Chiggs gives her some advice. She can make it again because she has time, and Maggie has to make hers again. And it makes me think they must have double the ingredients there just in case something like this happens, or maybe even triple. Must have loads of ingredients in there. But I thought this was really nice that Noel reminds us that Maggie is a midwife or a retired midwife, and asks her how many babies she's delivered and she can't remember, like it's been so many. So, I mean, I just have the utmost respect for nurses and midwives. I think they're absolutely amazing at what they do and they just keep their cool under pressure. So it kind of explains how Maggie is well able to not get stressed out about these things. And Noel kindly reminds her that making Jaconda is not profound, but delivering babies is profound. So it's time for them to add their mousse, their jellies and their sponges in. And we see the final tree that I haven't mentioned yet. Giuseppe is making something based on his father's wedding cake. And we see a photo of it with loads of fruit. And it's amazing. But it's funny that Giuseppe says if only he was a fraction as good as his father was. I'm like, wow, your father must be amazing because Giuseppe is fantastic. And they have a little laugh about Jürgen and his German engineering. He doesn't have any mess going on, but the Italian engineering is a little more haphazard than that, but the results are good. That's what they have a little chat about. And the little cultural differences and perhaps stereotypes, but they kind of ring true. Second last up, we have Christelle, who's making una pina colada, por favor. And they ask her how many leaves of gelatin she's using, and there's 13. This sounds like a lot of gelatin. I'm not really that much familiar with using gelatin myself, but it sounds like a lot. She's using coconut rum, and the image of the cake will resemble a pineapple. And now it's Freya, finally, and she really has to get creative with her ingredients to make sure they're vegan. And her goal is really, she says, to not know it's vegan. And that's a good goal. I understand that. And she's using a Swiss meringue, and she's using aquafaba again. So sounds like it's going to be quite tricky. So Maggie's back to baking, and she says it's a process that can't be rushed. And we are noticing that they all have complicated constructions, like the vegan sponge is in a kind of a cuboid, as I want to say, a cuboid shape. I don't know, do people use the word cuboid outside of school? Well, I teach kids about cuboids all the time, but I don't know, does it ever come in handy? And Christelle's looks really risky, a risk of falling apart there. Now it's time to set them in the freezer. And something crosses my mind that I said in a previous episode that now I'm realizing, yeah, obviously they do that. When they are on the second day, they're wearing the same clothes. Like, I was like, what are they going to do with their clothes? Now I'm just thinking, they obviously have a laundry that just, they take their clothes off, wash them and dry them. See, I don't have a dryer. I just have a washing machine. I just don't have a dryer. I need to buy one. But ever since we moved here, I just don't have a dryer. I just put things on the line and they dry naturally. But yeah, clearly they would have the budget to take their clothes, wash them and dry them. Has to be. How did I ever think that before? So the alarms have rung for them to take them out of the freezer. And I'm noticing they're having the plastic sheet around them and they're being poured on whatever they're doing. They might have a coolie or a jelly or whatever. Now, 10 minutes to go, they take them out of the freezer and Jürgen's looks really good. Amanda's are coming out and leaking, unfortunately. Maggie's is not set, she doesn't think. And this is when I start thinking, this looks really, really nice. I want to eat all these. I didn't have my dinner tonight. I really want to eat these. It looks so good. And I've realized I've never, ever had a jacquande. And I wonder, will I ever? Maybe I have to go to France. Go to a pâtisserie. So, time for judging. First of all, we have Jürgen with the pastime. And it's amazing. And I just love the way he wrote the music in there. Obviously, he plays his horn that we learned about in the first week. But he had to write that music out. And he had to probably do it backwards as well so that he could bring it up. Fantastic. Absolutely love it. So he has a wine jelly, which Paul mentions has bubbles in it, but that's okay. It is set. It cuts through beautifully. The black pepper taste is not coming true. And Jürgen sings the song, which is lovely, and everyone claps. And Prue says, it's familiar to me. And he says, just wait. The pepper taste will come later. And then after he sings the song, Paul says, oh, I got it. I got the pepper taste. So that was a bit of fun. Now, second up, Amanda says, there's like obviously this red liquid oozing from hers. And she says, I based this on a crime scene that I went to. And we're reminded, yes, she's a detective. Of course. All these people have such amazing jobs. So cool. So hers has Calvados Bavarian cream. The layers are beautiful. It's delicious, but they're not getting the apple. They're only getting that Calvados. They're only getting alcohol flavor. Third up, we have Giuseppe. His is pretty soft, beautifully baked. And Paul mentions that it's like something he would get in a decent hotel. And Matt asks him how many stars, and he says 5 stars. And I feel like the way they reacted, the way the whole tent reacted, was like, oh, 5 stars. But it wasn't saying that his cake was 5 stars. We were just saying the potential hotel it could be in is 5 stars. So I thought that was a little bit funny. But anyway, Giuseppe's doing well. Next up, we have Liz, and she has a little wheelie bin prop of hers, which is so weird because Tuesday night is my wheelie bin night. We have wheelie bins, and I was just wheeling my bin out before I came in to watch Bake Off, and I was thinking, God, wheelie bins, because I remember a time when we didn't have wheelie bins, and now they're everywhere. So it's funny, just thinking back to those old bins we used to have. It's like a little piece of history. Little story for the grandkids there. Although, all right, okay, back to the story. She's a wheelie bin, and she says, I'm wheelie proud to be from Liverpool or something like that. Now, they say the textures are wrong, but the taste is good. So well done, Liz. Christelle's up next, and she has lovely layers, powerful flavours. They think it's absolutely excellent, but Paul's only critique is that she should pull back the lime a little bit. George is next. The joints are kind of clumsy. They say there's a layer of literal peanuts, which Paul reckons is ridiculous. You can't get through it and it's peanut overkill, but I think it's nice all over. Seventh up is Chiggs. His looks amazing. So well done, Chiggs, again. There's two tiers. It seems like Prue is really enjoying eating it. The Bavrois is perfection and she loves it. And she doesn't even like Black Forest Gâteau. So I can see why Chiggs is doing well this week. Second last, we have Freya. And hers looks nice. The design of it is absolutely fabulous, I think. Chocolate and orange is there. The orange is too strong. Needed a cream to hold it together. So it's suffering a little bit from not having that structure. And finally, Maggie comes up and Paul mentions the Dam Busters have been in. I feel like that's a reference to some movie. You know better than me. And the flavour is lovely. It's the essence of summer. But Paul is like, where's the second element? So he's not convinced that the coolie or whatever is the second element. So she probably didn't make it complicated enough. But she says at the end, it was what it was. Now, Chiggs is, okay, we've done all the judging. So they're outside talking to camera. And Chiggs is wondering he could be Star Baker. Freya says it was brutal and she doesn't agree with them. And they're back at the table. And I love this because you can see them sitting at the table, the two judges and the two hosts. And there's a slice of all their desserts there. I just think they look fabulous when they do that, when they grab a slice of everything and put it all along the table. Paul mentions that Chiggs is still holding well, but he also mentions that some did collapse. Maggie is in trouble this week. The judges seem to be a bit disappointed in Freya and Amanda. Okay, time for the judging. Matt has the amazing job of the Star Baker judging or announcing, and it is Chiggs. And he looks really happy and everyone's delighted for him. Noel, unfortunately, has to send home Maggie, but she's always optimistic and they say they're going to miss her lots. And she's happy that she got to stay for 4 weeks and it's a huge achievement for her. And unfortunately, you could see from the start of this episode and even from last episode that Maggie was in danger of going, but she has been a brilliant contestant all over. Chiggs is delighted with his handshake and Star Baker in the same week. And especially the fact that he only started baking 12 months ago and he calls his mum and tells her. And it's lovely. So we just get a little tiny preview of next week. It's going to be German week. It's going to be Christmas biscuits and a multi-technical. And we hear the German for a break your leg and neck, which is good luck. Hals und Beinbruch. So guys, thanks very much for listening today. And we'll see you next week. My voice is a little better than last week. I was a really little bit groggy last week. Today I'm just tired, but I try and get these episodes out on a Tuesday night afterwards. So thank you so much for listening and I'll talk to you soon.